Thank you all for coming. A lot of thanks are in order. First of all, thank you to Rav Asher Weiss for spending the evening with us. He is very busy, I can tell you that. Baruch Hashem, today he had a long day. I was privileged to be here part of the day. He spoke to Rabbanim from 10 o'clock till at least 5 o'clock. I had to leave about 2 o'clock to go teach at Stern, so I missed the second half, but it was worth every moment to be there with Rav Weiss. I'd like to also thank some of the people who are really responsible for Rav Weiss being here. Of course, Dr. Ari Freilich, our chairman of our education committee, Rabbi Shai Schachter, who is, I think, not here, but he's instrumental in really organizing all of many of Rabbi Weiss's programs in the United States and beyond. Rabbi Tau, of course, from Hollywood, Rabbi Shlomo Lubavitch, who was involved also in this. And Rabbi Yossi Sprung, who is somewhere here, but he's been organizing, also helping to organize. Just a few words about Rav Weiss. So this morning spoke to Rabbanim, and I'm not going to speak about what he said. That was for the Rabbanim, but a lot of pieces. You could pick any 2 minutes and make a whole introduction out of it. But one thing that Rav Weiss mentioned was a person should learn b'makom shlibo chafetz. And then he talked about varieties, if you will, and what's more important, what's less important. More or less, everything is important, but he gave certain parameters. But most people, chafetz, means a person should learn what they want to learn, what's going to motivate them to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to become a better Jew. So that's a challenge because most people are focused on one direction. Some people like Gemara, and they can't like learn Musar, and some people learn Musar, and some people learn Tanakh, and some people learn Shkaf, and so on. And there's one thing that Rav Weiss is I'll use the term well-rounded, but the point, there's no area of Torah in which he is not familiar and able to transmit the authentic Torah from Har Sinai to us. And for that, we are grateful. He has many, many official roles, and you could read this on the flyer that was sent out. I'm not going to read it to you. It's only interesting, and it's only a short synopsis. But we are very grateful for his many, many Sfarim, Minchas Asher, Tshuvos, and Hashkafa, and Parsha, and Gemara, and many, many different areas. And we also thank Rav Weiss for the privilege of our community's house, which Jamaica States, participated in trying to help publish on the Sfarim over the past number of months. And we're really happy to be partners in that small way with the Torah. Rav Weiss picked the topic. We actually had wanted a topic, or we asked for a topic, which would be more in memory of his Rebbetzin Zichrono Livracha, Shiav Nechama, Shiav Lichigane then. And Rav Weiss felt this is important, so to speak, more important to him, which I know his wife was very precious and important. That's the topic he gave us.
I'm not aware.
Not aware. In that case... Okay.
What would you like to speak me to speak about? What was your original idea? What did you want to speak about?
But they're reflecting this. Okay.
I recall being here in the past, and I'm happy to be here again. I spent some time with your Rav today, with Rav Hochberg, and with many other Rabbonim, and it really was a very inspiring day. And tomorrow morning we're leaving back towards the soil, so this is my last public engagement in my very short visit, and I'm happy to be here. It is, in Yiddishkeit, we know that, that the end is the best. So, you know, we finish Shabbos with Shalashudas, we finish Yom Kippur with Ne'ila, and so I'm happy to be here before leaving back to Eretz Yisrael. Balancing Ben Odom L'Mokim V'Ben Odom L'Chaveiroi, that is what it's all about. And many times when I speak to parents, educators, I say, if we could only instill in our children passion, Ben Odom L'Mokim, and compassion, Ben Odom L'Chaveiroi, I think that will make them good Jews. So it is this week that our story begins, the story of Klal Yisrael and Parshas Lech Lecha. We started Chumash again, Simchas Torah, that was 2 weeks ago. But the first two Parshiyos in Chumash Bereishis are not our story. The story of the Jews starts in Parshas Lech Lecha. So we will briefly discuss why is the story of Avraham Avinu the beginning of our journey, of our story. But before delving into the topic we want to discuss today, I just would like to dedicate the shiur le'ilui nishmosai of a very special Jew that passed away recently, and that is Rabbi Yechiel Mechel ben Rabbi Chaim Shneo Zalman Halevi, the father of our dear friends, the Kramer. He should be a Melech Yosef, and you are the entire family. You should only know Simcha and Nachas. John has been a dear friend for many years. So 2 weeks ago on Simchas Torah, we started Chumash again. And Peshas Bereishis and Noach are the story of two giants, or the Marishim. Yetzir Kapov Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Noach is Tzadik Tamim. But our journey begins in Parashas Lech Lecha with the story of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was the very first Jew and the very first of the Sheshiva. It is what the Gemara says in Yumid Avchav Ches, Avraham Zokon V'yeshev V'yeshev, Yitzchak Zokon V'yeshev V'yeshev, Yankov Zokon V'yeshev V'yeshev, Umiyameim Shalav Yisenu, Lod Posku Yeshiva Mehem. So Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were teachers of Torah, and since then, the yeshiva hasn't left us, and we haven't left the yeshiva. So what was unique about Avraham Avinu, and with what was he different than Adam and Noach? So in last week's parsha, when we read about the story of Noach, and the Pasuk says, Ish tzadik tomem hoyu b'doyroisav. And Rashi brings, what is the emphasis b'doyroisav? And Rashi gives two different approaches and interpretations. Yesh dorshim l'shevach, v'yesh dorshim l'ginai. Yesh dorshim l'shevach. The Pasuk stresses, he was a tzadik in his generations. If Noach would live in a time of the righteous, in a time of tzaddikim, he would be even a far greater tzaddik. If he was a tzaddik tamim b'dor ha'mavel, in such an awful era, he probably would be far greater tzaddik. Ilu hoyo b'dorin shal tzaddikim. Yesh doroshim l'gnai. If he would be in the generation of Avraham Avinu, he would not be considered a great man at all. So, two fundamental questions arise. If you could be Dorish L'Shvach, why be Dorish L'Ginai? Chazal teaches at the beginning of Masechet HaSavos, Havidanus Kol Odom L'Kaf Zchus. And if the Torah testifies, and Noach, that he was a tzaddik tamim, Why be Derech Leginai? Why detract from his greatness? And the other question is, why those that are Derech Leshvach say, Ilu hoyu bederun shel tzadikim, hoyu tzadik b'yoysom, while those that are Derech Leginai specify, Ilu hoyu bederun shel Avraham? Why bederun shel Avraham? Why don't they use the same terminology? So my understanding is, no one doubts. No one could doubt that. It's obvious. If he was a tzaddik in such a difficult time, he would be a far greater tzaddik if his contemporaries and his friends and Bnei Adol were all tzaddikim. So Noach was a tzaddik, he was a tomim, but he failed in one test, in one aspect. And that is where Avraham Avinu excels. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, I am going to destroy a city. And Avraham asks, which city? New York, London, Chas V'Shalom Yerushalayim. Which city are you out to destroy? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Zdoim. It's the most horrible city in the world. They're all evil people, bad people. Anshei Zdoim, Rom v'chatoim. How does Avraham Avinu respond? He cries, he begs, he pleads, he davens. Ula yesham chamishim tzaddikim. Maybe there are 40 tzaddikim, 30 tzaddikim, 25 tzaddikim. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Noach, I am going to destroy the world. Not one city, the world. How does Noach respond? So what do you want me to do? He says, build a teva. For whom? For you, your wife, and your kids. And he goes ahead, and he starts building. How would Avraham Avinu respond? And that is what the Doshim and Gnai says. Of course he was a tzaddik. And if he would be in a generation of tzaddikim, he would be a far greater tzaddik. Irohoyu bedoro shel Avraham. Compared to Avraham Avinu, Noach was found lacking. So in last week's Haftorah, which is a perek in the Navi Ishayo, perek Nun Dalet, the Mabul is described and defined as Mei Noach. And the Zohar explains, why is it Mei Noach? Noach wasn't the one that caused the Mabul. And the Zohar says, in an indirect way, yes, that is Noach's Mabul. He bears indirect responsibility. If he would act like Avraham Avinu, who knows? Maybe history would take a different course. So the Mabul is described by the Navi Yeshayahu as Mei Noach. The Ari, Navi HaKodesh, claims in one of his Shemoyne She'orim Kidvei Ha'ari Shara Gilgulim that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Gilgul of Noach. So I don't know whether you're familiar with the sugya of Gilgul. In Shas we have Gilgul Shavua. This is a different sugya. So the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu was the neshama of Noach. And there are some striking similarities between the story of Noach and the story of Moshe Rabbeinu. Both had a teva. Moshe had a personal one, a little one. Noach had a big one. Noach is the first individual. We learn in the Torah, V'noach motzo chein be'enei Hashem. We find the same by Moshe Rabbeinu. And after the tragedy of Chetu Egel, Moshe turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, Im motzos chein be'enecho, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yes, motzos chein be'enai. So we find Metzias chein by Moshe, once again, by Noach. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, after the chet ha'egel, V'choru api behem. They disappointed me. They let me down in Chet Uegel. Achala oisam keroga, ve'esa oischo, Vegoy Godoil. I will destroy them, and you will be the father of a great nation. Let's start again with you. And that is once again strikingly similar to the proposition that Kodesh Baruch Hu suggests to Noach. I'm going to destroy the world, and you will be the father of a new world. It'll all start with you. How does Moshe Rabbeinu respond when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Achala oisam karoga ve'asa oischo legoi godoil? Moshe says, no way. If that is what you intend to do, mecheninu mesifracho asher kosav. Mecheni is the letters mei noyach. Noyach in the middle and mem yud. That is a contrast between Moshe Rabbeinu and Noach. I once suggested a definition, what is unique about Moshe Rabbeinu and his nevuah. It is one of the fundamentals of our Emunah, and it's in the Yud Gimel Ikrim of the Rambam, that the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu is unique, and he stands apart. Amongst all the prophets and the giants of yore, Moshe Rabbeinu is unique. And I say, all the other prophets heard HaKadosh Baruch. The Avos conversed with HaKadosh Baruch. Only Moshe dared to argue with HaKadosh Baruch. And that is Moshe Rabbeinu. So Avraham Avinu pleads and begs and cries and davens to HaKadosh Baruch we should not destroy his daim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, I will destroy all the others, and you will be the father of a great people, of a great nation. Moshe says, no, no way. Mecheninu mesofrecho asher kosavto. And Noach says, okay. And he goes about building the Teva. And that is the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Avraham Avinu and Noach. Noach learned Torah. Moshe was the one to receive Torah in Har Sinai and transmit Torah to all the coming generations. Once again, there's a similarity between Noach and Moshe. Noach is the first individual to learn Torah, because in Medrash Tanchuma, in Parshas Bereishis, the Medrash says, Ilu molei lamad Adam Torah loy hayu meis. If Adam Edition would learn Torah, he wouldn't die. So obviously, according to the Medrash Tanchuma, Adam Rishon didn't learn Torah, and Noach was the first. Noach learned Torah. Who else learned Torah in his generation? No one. Obviously, he taught his children. Some of his children. Because Shem had a yeshiva. And Yaakov Avinu learns Vebeis Shem Ve'eva. Avraham Avinu learned Torah as well. What did he do with his Torah? So the Rambam so beautifully, so eloquently describes in the beginning of Hilchos Avodas Kechavim, Avraham Avinu is born into a barren world. Asara Doiras Menoyach Ad Avraham Hayu Oilam Shamein. And the Rambam describes all were idol worshippers, all were Oivde Avodas Zora. Ad sha'amad eitan ze v'nigbetzu elav alafim v'revavot v'shatal b'libam ha'ikar ha'gadol hazeh shel emunas ha'yichud. So Avraham Avinu not only learned Torah, not only taught his children. The very first Jew was the very first Rosh Hashiva and the greatest Rosh Hashiva probably in history, and the Rambam says he had thousands and tens of thousands of Talmidim. Vehem Anshei Beis Avraham. And those are the ones, Es HaNefesh Asher Oso Bechoron. So Avraham Avinu not only learns Torah, he disseminates Torah, and he has thousands and tens of thousands of Talmidim. That is the difference between Noach on one hand and Avraham Avinu on the other. And that is why Avraham Avinu is our father, and he is the first of our Avos HaGedoshim. So Noach was a tzaddik tamim, Adam HaRishon definitely Yetziyah Kapav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's our story that starts with Avraham Avinu. So Avraham Avinu was the very first Jew. His children were Jews. We became a nation by Moshe Rabbeinu, by Kabbalah's HaTorah. So our story starts in Parshas Bereishis. And it is the story of Avraham Avinu. That's our story. So it's a story of teaching Torah and a story of caring and compassion for each and every person, not only each and every Jew. Anshei Sdoim weren't Jewish, but they were human beings, and Avraham Avinu cared for them as well. So the story of Avraham Avinu is a story of caring and compassion and avos, and caring for others, and going out of your way for others. And Avraham Avinu was not only the greatest teacher of Torah, v'nikvitz oed of alofen v'ravavos, and he taught them emuna. Avraham Avinu is also the paragon of chesed. And when we speak about brisoy shel Avraham Avinu, everybody knows that is bris mila. And at the end of this week's Pasha, we learn about bris mila. But there is another bris of Avraham Avinu as well. And in Berchas Avelim, we say, Hamachzikim bebrisoy shel Avraham Avinu. And Rashi explains in Ksuvas Dav Chesem et Beis, the bris of Avraham Avinu, the other one, the other covenant of Avraham Avinu, is Gemilas Chasodim. And that is what we find by Avraham Avinu, by Yita Eishel. So Avraham was a paragon of chesed, of Gemilas Chasodim, of caring, of compassion, and he was also a great teacher of Torah. And that is why Avraham is our father, and our story starts with the story of Avraham Avinu. So Avraham Avinu was great in teaching Torah and great in Ahavas Chesed. And it is from Avraham Avinu that we learn Chesed. The Avos HaKadoshim, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the three Avos, the Zohar explains, are Keneged Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chesed. So let's try to figure out who is who. Let's try to figure out who is what. So as we said, Avraham is the exemplar of Chesed. Kitei Chesed la'Avraham. Yitzchak was the ultimate sacrifice in Akedas Yitzchak. That is Avodah. He was the very first Korban. And Tefillah is Keneged Korbanos, as we learn in Berachos Dav Chavav. The three Tefillahs we say every day are three Korbanos. Tomet Shel Shachar, Tomet Shel Bein Arabayim, and Tefillahs Arvus is Keneged Eivarim, that are all the night on the Mizbeach. And that is why Tefillahs Arvus is Rishus, because it is only a continuation of what is left over from the Tmidin that were brought every morning and every evening. So Avraham Avinu was Chesed, Yitzchak is Avoida. What's left for Yaakov? Torah, rightfully so. Because Yaakov is Ishtam Yoshev Oyhalim. So he was a Yoshev Oyal. So Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasodim. Why is it the other way around? Chazal, very first Perek of Masechet Avos, start off with Torah, from Torah to Avodah, from Avodah to Chesed. By the Avos, it's the other way around. Starting with Chesed, then Avodah, and culminating and reaching a climax with Yaakov Avinu, which is Torah. So I explained many times, Avraham Avinu came to a barren world, or Oivde Avodah Zarah. So maybe, I don't know, I don't recall being there. But it's very possible that Avraham Avinu put on signs that from next Sunday he's starting a Daf Yomi Shiur. Nobody came. Nobody came. Who was interested in Daf Yomi? They didn't know what he's talking about. And he put up signs that he's opening up a free kitchen, a free restaurant. People flocked. Or came. And Chazal described Avraham Avinu, Vayita Eshel, and had four doors open from each and every side. And people came and enjoyed, and he gave them food and drinks. And then they came to thank him and to say thank you. And Avraham Avinu says, whatever I gave you was not mine. It is all a blessing from above. It is not me that you need to thank, but rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then they asked, who is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And then they were on their way. And Avraham Avinu taught them, who is HaKadosh Baruch Hu and why we need to thank him for the abundance and for his blessings. So in the days of the Avos, it needed to start with Chesed. And when you care for people, it is then that you could inspire them and you could teach them and bring them closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in the days of the Avos, it had its start the other way around, beginning with Chesed, and from Chesed to Avodah. So Avraham teaches them how to give thanks and gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it is only then that they were fitting to learn Torah. So Torah, Avodah, and Chesed are the pillars of our people, of what we are as individuals, as communities, as a nation. And that is the combination of Bein Adam L'Mokoyim and Bein Adam L'Chaveideh that we learn from our Avos. Primarily from Avraham Avinu in this week's Parsha, in Parshas Lech Lecha. So the Ramban in Parshas Yisroi explains what Chazal teach us. The two luchos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Moshe and Har Sinai were similar, one to the other, same size, same texture, same weight. Why is that? The Ramban explains. And why do we need two luchos? And why can't Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments, be on one tablet? Why two? The Ramban explains that Luach number one is dedicated to Ben Odom Lomokoim. While the second Luach is dedicated exclusively to Mitzvahs Sheben Odom L'Chaveiroi. Lo Tirtzach, Lo Tinaf, Lo Tignov, Lo Ta'id Bereach, Lo Eitshoka, Lo Tachmod. And this comes to teach and to indicate that they have the same level of importance. And Bein Odom L'Mokoyim and Bein Odom L'Chaveiroi are both essential. Essential and important to the same degree. And you cannot be a good Jew with one of the two. And the Rishon Salanter explained, V'yashlach miyodov, the Mesorah is miyodoi, and the Mikra is miyodav. So the great teacher of Musa, Rabbi Saul Salanter, explained, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Har Sinai, and the tragedy becomes obvious, and he sees the golden calf, the Egel Azov, and he sees the people singing and dancing and rejoicing, it is clear to him that they are not fitting to be the chosen people. But Moshe thinks, I will break Luach number one, but at least let them be a mensch. Why not give them Luach number two? They failed the test of Emuna. They worship an idol, a golden calf. But why not give them Lo Tirtzach and Lo Tinaf and Lo Tignav? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, you cannot separate my Torah. It's a package deal. It's either all or nothing. And that is why the Messiah is Yodai Veloshen Yochid. And the way we read it is Yodav. Because Moshe thought, I might as well at least give them Luach number 2. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, without Luach number 1, Luach number 2 cannot stand. And the Torah is Mikshu Achas. It's inseparable. So we got two Luchis. Number 1, dedicated to Mitzvah Shebein Adam L'Mokayim. And number 2, dedicated to Mitzvah Shebein Adam L'Chaveir. And both are as important, one as the other. So number 5 and Luach number 1 is Kaved Esovicho Ve'esimecho. Is that Bein Adam L'Mokayim or Bein Adam L'Chaveir? So the Ramban explains that takes us from Bein Adam L'Mokayim to Bein Adam L'Chaveir. Basically, Kvod Ava'em is Bein Adam L'Chaveir because it is between people. And what is between one person and another is basically defined as Bein Adam L'Chaveir. But the importance, the centrality of Kvod Ava'em is so basic in Bein Adam L'Mokayim as well, because that is the Messiah. And that is transmitting Torah from one generation to the other. And that is why Bein Adam L'Mokayim and Bein Adam L'Chaveri come together in the mitzvah of Kibudav. And that is the last Sibui and the last mitzvah on the first Luach. That is the Ramban. So many times I say, as I mentioned before, if only we could instill in the hearts of our children passion and compassion. Passion, Bein Adam L'Mokayim, and compassion, Bein Adam L'Chaveir. So many of the struggles we have in educating our children in Chinuch today, we could eliminate or diminish if we would find ways to instill in their hearts, in the young hearts, a passion of Ahavas Torah, love of Torah, love of learning Torah, and a passion and a simcha of mitzvahs. The Charedim, Rabbi Elozar Azkari, was one of the great disciples of the Ari HaKodesh, going back almost 500 years. And the Charedim writes that he heard from the Ari everything he achieved. All the madregas and all the hasagas in Kabbalah, he achieved only in the merit of simcha, simcha shel mitzvah and simcha shel Torah. So we need to make an effort to instill in the hearts of our children simcha shel Torah and simcha shel mitzvah. And it is then that they will wish and try to follow in our footsteps. Every day in the morning, we say three brachas that compose Birchas HaTorah. Bracha number 1 is defined as Birchas HaMitzvah, and that is the basic formula of Birchas HaMitzvah, when we say, Asher kelishonu b'mitzvotah v'tzivonu la'soik v'divrei Torah. Bracha number 3 is Birchas HaShevach, in which we give gratitude and thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Asher bachabonu mekol olamim v'nasan lanu esterosai. Between the two, we have somewhat of a half brach. By halachic definition, a bracha smucha l'chavrata, it doesn't start with baruch, like bracha number 1 and bracha number 3. So it's somewhat of a half brach. How do we define the second bracha of Birchas HaTorah? Birchas HaTfila. Abu Darham says there are 4 different and basic and distinct types of brachas. Birchas HaNehenin, like Birchas HaMazon, Me'en Sholosh, and all the other brachas, Shehakol, Bo'ed HaPri, Waits, etc. Birchas HaMitzvahs, that we recite before performing mitzvahs. Berachas HaShevach, like Shechiyonu, and Berachas HaTfilo. What are Berachas HaTfilo? Primarily, Berachas HaEmtzoyes of Tfilas HaAmida, in Shemayin Esther that we say three times a day. What is unique about Berachas HaTfilo, we not only give gratitude and praise, we also plead with the Kodesh Baruch Hu to give us and to fulfill our needs. Those are Berachas HaTfilo. So obviously the middle bracha of Berachas HaTorah is Berachas HaTfilo, because in this bracha we ask a Kodesh Baruch Hu, V'harevanu Hashem Elokeinu, as Divrei Torah Befinu, V'nihiyeh Anachnu B'tzetzeinu, we and our children and our grandchildren, we should all be Lomdei Torah L'shma. It is very uncommon that in one bracha we have two distinct and different bakoshas. So first we ask, V'harevnu Hashem Elokeinu, as Divrei Torah Sechu Befinu, and then we go on to ask for something else. V'nihiyeh Anachnu B'tzetzeinu. And my feeling is, those are not two distinct bakoshas. Ha b'ha talia. And the two sides of the same coin. If we really want to stand a fair chance, v'nihiyeh anachnu, v'tzetzeinu, v'tzetzetzor, am ko beisesor kolonu, yoydei shemecho v'lamde sarasecha l'shma, it is only if, v'harevno, Hashem Elokeinu, v'zdivrei terosu befinu. If we will feel and partake in the beauty of Torah and in the simcha of Torah, it is then that we stand a fair chance that our children will wish to do the same. Children growing up in a home and they hear their father saying Divrei Torah and rejoicing in Divrei Torah, and they see a Shabbos table and they see what Simchas HaMitzvah is, then it is only natural that they will want to follow in our footsteps. So these two bakoshas are not two distinct and different bakoshas. Two sides of the same coin, and we ask Rabbeinu Shalom, V'harevnu Hashem Elokeinu as Divrei Torah Sechu Befinu, and then V'nihiyeh Anachnu V'tzetzeinu V'tzetzeam Chobesol Kulonu Yoydei Shemecho V'loimdei Serosecho V'shma. So before we have some time taking a few questions from the Tzibar, as I was requested to do, let me just wish you all from the depth of my heart, you should all have nachas from your children, and we should all be mevasa b'seiros teiros. Many members of the community felt together with me 3.5 months ago when my wife passed away, and I wish you all, we should only share simchas, and we should share b'seiros teiros and yeshuas and nechames. And you should have a year, we're still at the beginning of the year, this should be a year of good health and prosperity and shefa and nachas from your children. V'nehiyeh anachnu v'tzetzu'enu v'tzetzo'yam chubeisesor kulonu yoydei shemecho v'loimdei sarosecho l'shma. And we should be zoicha b'koroif, do our best, b'nodem l'mokoyim and b'nodem l'chaveiroyim. HaKodesh Baruch Hu should send us Moshiach Tzidkenu B'mheiro B'yomeinu. Amen. No questions?
You answer all the questions.
So you have it all figured out.
Yeah. Okay.
So we have a variety of halachic and philosophical questions. Why did Hashem build into creation Tzadik V'ra Lo'i Rosho V'Toi Lo'i? I wish I would know.
distance away from this.
I wish I would know. And Moshe Rabbeinu asked the same question, and he was troubled. And after the Chetu Egel, as I mentioned before, Moshe turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, Imotsosi Chaim Beinechu, please show us, Hareinu Nu'ez Kvoidecho, Hoidiyenu No'ez Drochecho. And in Brochus of Zion, Chazal explained, Vikish Moshe Leida, Tzadik Veralei Rosh HaVetoyva. And there's a machlokes between a man and a biosi, too great to know him. Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond? Did he receive a satisfactory explanation? And my feeling is, after the Chet Uegel, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't deal with abstract philosophy. The question referred to our destiny. We are a chosen people. We are Kodesh Baruch Hu's beloved people. So why do we suffer more than all the others? This is what troubled Moshe Rabbeinu. If we and we alone are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children, Bonav Shel Elokeinu, and we are His chosen and beloved people, so why is our history so full of persecution and bloodshed and gzeiros and pain and suffering more than all the others? And it is not evident that Moshe received a satisfactory explanation. We don't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways. And more than 500 years ago, Rabbi Yosef Albo, one of the great Jewish philosophers, a disciple of the Ran, he wrote a very fundamental and important sefer, Sefer Ha'ikrim. And in Ma'amar Beis, he writes an amazing line, only three words. Ilu yadativ havitiv. If I would understand God, I would be God. So yes, we do not understand many things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. And we need to accept what we do not understand. I once said a pshat, and I think it's an amazing pshat. In Menachos Daf Chof Tes, Chazal tell that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows Moshe dor dor v'doshov, dor dor v'manigav. And Moshe sees like a video the great giants of every generation, the leaders of every generation. And when he comes to Rabbi Akiva, he is so inspired by Rabbi Akiva's greatness. And he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you showed me his greatness. I would like to see his demise. And he sees the tragic death of Rabbi Akiva, who was tortured and killed. And Moshe is taken aback, and he asks, "Zu toira v'zu schora? Is this a reward that such a great tzaddik deserves?" And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Moshe chazoy la'achorecho, gzeirehi melefonai." So when Moshe Rabbeinu pleads with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Areinu es kvoidecho," after Chet Uegel, what about tzaddik v'ra'alei rosh v'toivloi? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Hinei mokem iti, v'samtichu b'nikras hatzur, I will put you in the cave. V'sakoisi kapi olecho. V'haya ba'avor kvodi, v'reita et achorai, v'ponai lo yiro'u. And the Chasam Sofer explains, Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, even you will not understand my ways only in retrospect. Achorai. Even you, the greatest of people ever to roam this planet, the greatest of people ever to live, even you, ponai lo yiro. There is only an abchina of rias achorav that you will understand my ways. So when Moshe is taken aback, seeing the death of Rabbi Akiva, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Moshe chazoy la achorecho. Did you forget? V're'itet achorai, gzeirahi melefonai. This gzeira is melefonai, and I told you, v'ponai lo yiro. So we don't know why Tzadik Varale Rosh HaVetoivloi. But we should always remember that this entire world is just a transitional period. It's a prozdor. The real thing is in the world to come. And I think that'll make it easier to accept pain, suffering. And I say this out of my personal experience. We have known mourning, we have known pain. But when you remember and you believe and you feel that we're here just to move on. So when I sat Shiva and I spent a lot of time with my children and grandchildren and we talked a lot, and it occurred to me, and I said, a mushel, you're flying, you're in the airport, and you get an upgrade to first class. And in some airports, first class is really very special. And you sit in first class, it's like a utopian dream. You sink into a sofa, you've never seen anything like it elsewhere. And they ask you, you want cappuccino, coffee, tea, and you're catered to like a king, and suddenly a friend that you haven't seen for 15 years walk in, and you're so happy to see him. 5 minutes later, the announcement, boarding. You close your carry-on, stretch out your hand, and your friend says, are you crazy? We're having such a good time here. Stay! Says, but my flight is leaving. What do you care? Stay! We're having a great time here. I'm only here because I need to catch my flight. So, my dear friends, we're just here because we need to catch the flight. Sometimes you enjoy the lounge, and it's legitimate. That's what it's made for. You're having a great time, but it's a lounge in an airport. And the reason we came here is just to get our flights. Some flights leave earlier than others, but we're here just to get on our flight. And the real thing is there. That is where ultimate happiness dwells. So that just makes it a bit easier to deal with Yisurim and with tragedy. But nobody really could figure out a Kodesh Bohu's ways. But we need to believe that's the way it needs to be. If Noah spoke to Hashem and learned Torah, why was he not considered to be a Jew? That's a very good question. He wasn't considered to be a Jew because he wasn't a Jew. And before Avraham Avinu, the greatest people didn't need to be Jewish because Jews were not yet conceived. So Adam HaRishon was created by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And up to Avraham Avinu and a later stage Matan Torah, everybody could achieve greatness. But our story begins with Avraham Avinu. I tried to explain what is unique about Avraham Avinu, not Chalil trying to detract from Noach, but it is noteworthy that our story, beginning with Avraham Avinu, begins with greatness in both realms of teaching Torah and caring for our brethren and for others. Third Shaila is a Shaila in Halacha. Many buildings with electric doors and doorman on Shabbos. So any electrical circuit, if we close, we're dealing with a chashash malacha d'yoraisa. Up to the Chazanish, many gedolim felt it's a nisa d'rabbanan. From the Chazanish on, many gedolim felt we're dealing with a d'yoraisa. And in my response, and not my tshuvas, I wrote numerous tshuvas dealing with electronics and electricity. Could we be lenient if there's a doorman that opens the door for us? Well, b'shas adchak, yes. I would prefer doors that are not electrically activated. But if you happen to be somewhere and the only way you can get in is with a non-Jew opening the door for you, then you could exercise leniency. You could be mekel. But it definitely would be preferable to live in a house in which you have doors that could be opened. But this is, with every passing day, becoming a more relevant and more pressing question, because it is not only doors, it's various different systems. It's lights going on and off. And so this is a challenging time. And not always do we have control. Yes, if you live in Bnei Brak or Yerushalayim or Borough Park or in Williamsburg, you don't have much of a problem. But today there are flourishing from communities practically in every major city, almost in the world, definitely in the Western world. And in most places we don't have control. And Jews live amongst non-Jews. And this is an age in which technology becomes more and more common in many spheres in our life. So these are questions that really need solutions. And I can only say in a very basic way, any usage, intentional usage of electronics or electricity is definitely prohibited. But when we activate systems without intention or without deriving direct benefit, then that is mutter. That would not be considered as an issue.
Any other questions? Okay.
So follow up to what you just said. You're walking in the street. You have a choice of either passing a house, well, two houses that have automatic lights centered. One is owned by a Jew, one is owned by a non-Jew.
It's irrelevant who the owner of the house is. What is relevant is, are you a Jew or a non-Jew? If you're a non-Jew, no problem. If you're a Jew, try to avoid it. But once again, sometimes you just can't avoid it because you can't go on the street. You might be hit by a car, and wherever you go, you're putting on lights. And that is precisely what I meant when I said before, if it's not intentional and you're not deriving any substantial benefit, you would get home without that light going on. So if you could avoid it, then, okay, so go to the other side. But if you can't avoid it, it would not be defined as a malach. It would not be defined as a prohibition. Yes. We're running a bit late, so I'll take this as the last question. How does one balance kibbutz av em and he wants to make aliyah, knowing that his parents is against making aliyah? Seems to be a touchy question, judging by your response. Kibbutz av em does not override other mitzvahs. Does override other mitzvahs in a limited scope, which means you're learning Torah and your father calls you from the other room, could you make a coffee for me? You're obliged to close your Gemara and make a coffee for your father. But as a sif in Shulchan Aruch, if a boy wants to go to yeshiva and his father doesn't want him to go to yeshiva, then Kibbutz av em is pushed aside by the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. What is the difference? So, Kibbutz av em is like any other mitzvah she'ef shal asoysen al yedei achelim, and it overrides Talmud Torah. But the quest to learn Torah and to grow in Torah and in Yiddishkeit overrides Kibbutz av em. So a father does not have the authority to tell a son, I don't want you to learn Torah. And the same would apply to Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael. So if the son wants to move to Eretz Yisrael, And that is his dream, to live in Eretz Yisrael and to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael. He has the right to do that, even if his parents object. Might be different if his parents need him. If he has elderly parents, or they're ill or disabled, and he is their only child, or for different reasons, they are dependent on him, that might render a different psak. But if it is only the parents who would like to have him close by, or for any other reason, they don't want him to go to Eretz Yisrael, he is entitled, he has the right to move to Eretz Yisrael, even if his parents object. It was wonderful to be with you tonight, and once again I wish you all a wonderful year of nachas and simcha, and the community should continue to grow and prosper in its commitment to Torah and to Yiras Shemayim.
Amen. Thank you very much for being with us.